I wonder this morning, what does home look like to you? Perhaps it's a place surrounded by people you love, who bring you joy, your closest friends. Perhaps it's a location or a building that comforts you or brings back wonderful memories. Whatever home looks like for most of us, it's usually something familiar. Probably most of us don't hear the word home and think of strangers or places we've never been before. We think of home and perhaps we think of how we welcome people into spaces or groups that we are already accustomed to. But I wonder, is it possible for us to show hospitality in a place that's new? As Christians, do we have homes away from home? Recently, I had the opportunity to meet two ministers who currently serve at the Church of the Covenant in Cleveland, Ohio. I met the Reverend Amy Starr Redwine and the Reverend Melanie Marshbaum at the Trent Symposium for newly ordained pastors in Roanoke, Virginia, this past March. At the symposium, both of these ministers shared that one of their congregation's guiding principles is playing more away games. It's a concept that they adopted from Mark Ramsey, the director of Macedonian Ministries in Atlanta, Georgia. And here is how they describe what away games look like. The age of build it and they will come ministry is over. We cannot expect people in our communities, a growing number of whom are increasingly completely unchurched, to simply wander into our buildings and come to our worship services right off the street, or to come looking for us at all. It's great to be welcoming to those who do come, but a big part of what we are called to do in this time and this place is to go outside of our own walls. We should be at least as concerned with the welcome and presence we offer to people out in our communities as we are with the welcome and presence we offer people when they come to us on our own turf, if not more concerned. We do this by engaging in ministry and faith formation as a whole community endeavor, not just something that happens inside our buildings on Sunday mornings, surrounded by our own people. Since this past March, this concept of away games has stuck with me. I love the idea and the challenge of thinking about Christian welcome outside of the walls of the church. And I love the risk and vulnerability we share when we intentionally seek out people and places that are different than our own context. As a congregation, we talk a great deal about how to create welcome and hospitality for those who show up here Sunday mornings. And that is an important part of our identity and calling as disciples. But what about the welcome we offer our communities around us on a daily basis? What if we accepted invitations to as many away games as we seek to offer home games? I remember my very first away game in college. I was 18 years old and a freshman in the marching band at East Carolina University. I was a member of the Color Guard. We were the ones throwing the flags up in the air amidst all the instruments. And our very first game was in the fall of 2007. It was an away game at Virginia Tech. I was pretty excited, but as the day grew nearer on the calendar, I got more and more nervous. Not only had I never performed in front of thousands of people before, but older members of the marching band were beginning to warn me not to listen to anyone once we arrived. I'm sure all of you know that rivalries run deep in college football, and tension between the Pirates and the Hokies was no exception. Other students told me to expect to be yelled at and just to ignore any remarks that might be unfriendly. And trust me, I know our Pirates are not known for our good manners either. But basically, I was told not to expect a warm welcome because there would be far more Hokies than there were pirates that day. Well, by the time we arrived at the game, I was terrified. I was sitting on the bus in my uniform, staring hard out of the window for the first glimpse of the stadium. And as the bus slowed down to turn into that long driveway, I was surprised. I was surprised to see that the driveway was lined with people. Virginia Tech fans and ECU fans, as well as some people dressed in both teams' colors, were lined up on both sides of the driveway to welcome us. When we finally parked and got off the bus, we were greeted by waves and hugs and bottles of water. Hokies walked by and thanked us for coming. It was a welcome that I was not expecting. This was my very first away game. And it was also the very first football game for the Hokies after the massacre that had taken place in their campus in April of that year. Over 67,000 people attended this game. The bands from both schools shared in the playing of the national anthem as the Air Force flew overhead. 32 balloons were released in memory of each of the lives that were lost, as the entire stadium shared a profound moment of silence. Afterwards, the Hokies started shouting, "Welcome, Pirates!" Our school had donated $100,000 to Virginia Tech's Memorial Fund. This was an away game like no other. A freshman from Virginia Tech would later describe it in a news article saying, "I honestly can't remember seeing dry eyes in the crowd. And at that moment, though I had only been a member of Virginia Tech for about 2 weeks, the thousands of other human beings in Lane Stadium suddenly felt like family." And I have to say, I felt the same way. This game at Virginia Tech was one that helped define my entire college experience. We may have been wearing different colors and come from different places, but that day every one of us became a family. Many people gathered together for a little while to remember those who were lost, to declare that death was not the end, and to practice the hope of new life together. The Spirit was present amongst us, and we were moved beyond words. Later that school year, in January of 2008, I would get to hear some of the survivors from Virginia Tech speak at the Montreat College Conference. I heard their voices and listened as they shared their stories, and the hundreds of other college students gathered at the conference once again felt like brothers and sisters. We came from places all over the country that winter, each of us from different life experiences, and we worshiped together for a week in the mountains. We spent time getting to know one another, sharing meals, sharing tears, and sharing laughter. That week, we went home as a family. Sometimes it takes an away game, a situation where we find ourselves surrounded by strangers, for us to hear the Holy Spirit interrupting our lives to show us something amazing. Sometimes it takes going to an away game to realize where our home is. I begin this morning with the concept of away games, because where we pick up in our second scripture lesson, Peter finds himself far away from home. At the end of Acts 10, Peter is away from his people or his hometown, and he's surrounded by strangers that aren't like him. Earlier in the chapter, Peter, who's a Jewish Christian, and Cornelius, who's a Gentile, both receive visions from God. These visions lead these men to do things they would not normally do. Cornelius invites Peter to his house to come and speak to his people about Jesus Christ. Peter accepts the invitation and travels all the way to Caesarea to preach to the Gentiles there. even though at the time Jews and Gentiles were not allowed to associate with one another. By sending these visions to both of these men, God is calling them and their people to intentionally spend time with one another. This away game ends up being a powerful moment in Peter's ministry because he finally begins to realize that the mission of the church includes everyone, the stranger, the outsider, even the Gentiles. Where we arrive in the story today, Peter is at Cornelius' house preaching a homily about Jesus to the Gentiles. He's in the middle of his prepared words when the Spirit interrupts him. So let's listen now for the word of the Lord from Acts chapter 10, verses 44 through 48. While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out, even on the Gentiles. For they heard them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" So he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they invited him to stay for several days. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. They invited him to stay for several days. I admit I almost overlooked this last verse when I was working with this passage. At first glance, it seems like an afterthought. After this big moment where the Holy Spirit is poured out, then Peter stayed for a couple of extra days. But the more I reread it, the more powerful it became. Peter didn't simply come and preach and leave. He stayed with the Gentiles. They spent time getting to know one another beyond this one powerful experience that they shared. One scholar says this about verse 48. In case we missed the point, the last line of the story underlines it for us one more time. The inclusion of the Gentiles is not a reluctant toleration of the new group. Full inclusion implies getting to know them, hearing their stories, accepting hospitality from them in their homes, sharing the same table. In our passage, Peter is far away from his hometown. He's surrounded by Gentiles, and yet he realizes that this is also home, because for those who believe in Christ, home has no boundaries. And when Peter begins to see these Gentiles as his brothers and sisters, he stays with them. He accepts their hospitality and spends time getting to know them. Beyond Peter just sharing a homily, these two groups of people begin to form authentic, genuine relationships with one another. And all of this is happening because the boundaries that once segregated these two groups of people have been washed away by the Spirit. The waters of baptism also have no set boundaries. Water is an element that tends to overflow the limitations that we try to place around it. Water resists our attempts to contain it, as well as our attempts to keep it out. So Peter asks, "Can anyone withhold the water?" His question is asking plainly if any boundaries we create between one another can stand in the way of the Holy Spirit. Can any labels or distinctions we place on ourselves hold back the gushing waters of baptism? No. Because like the water, the Holy Spirit is one who goes where she wills. In our scripture today, if you'll notice, the Spirit is not only poured out on the Gentiles, it's given to the Jewish Christians as well, enabling them to see also with new eyes and capture a new vision of the kingdom of God. The Holy Spirit has interrupted Peter's well-prepared homily to reveal to everyone present that God is a God of justice and inclusion. God's love for the outsider, for the foreigner, is made plain through the actions of the Spirit. Can anyone withhold the water? No. Because no one can withhold God's love. So what does this mean for us? What does this have to do with being at home or choosing to go to an away game? One of my professors in seminary used to say, "Those of us who are most at home in this world are called to seek those who are not." So when's the last time you noticed someone who wasn't at home? Maybe it was someone who seemed out of place in a certain building. Maybe it was the person being ignored in a crowded room. Maybe it was someone people avoided as they walked down the sidewalk. Maybe it was the person who didn't get a chance to speak at the meeting. Maybe you don't feel at home all the time. Typically, people we notice who are not at home are not the familiar friends and family that we encounter every day. Going to away games, spending time in a place or with people who are unfamiliar to us, heightens our awareness of other people's lives. When we allow ourselves to be in new places, we pay attention to our surroundings more. Away games challenge us to spend less time looking down at our screens and more time looking around at the children of God who share this home with us. And for those of us who choose to follow Christ, these away games are not optional. Because the water that claims us in our baptism is not contained to this one place. Our baptism is an invitation to not only be a member of this part of the body of Christ at Second Presbyterian, but also a member of the larger body of Christ in the world. The waters of baptism that are poured out at this font might begin here for many of us, but then they continue to flow out our doors onto the streets of our cities and the regions beyond. The late William Sloan Coffin, who was a Presbyterian minister and chaplain at Yale Divinity School, says this in his book, Credo. "It seems to me that in joining a church, you leave home and hometown to join a larger world. The whole world is your new neighborhood and all who dwell therein. Black, white, yellow, red, stuffed and starving, mighty and lowly, criminal and self-respecting, American or Russian, all become your sisters and brothers in the new family formed in Jesus. By joining a church, you declare your individuality in the most radical way in order to affirm community on the widest possible scale." For the past 2 years, I have had the privilege of going to away games on Wednesday mornings on the campus of VCU. I take free coffee and tea and hot chocolate and sometimes donuts to the lobby of the Singleton Center, and I sit, and I spend time with the students there. Over these 2 years, I have learned their names and their majors. We have talked about their hometowns and our families. They have shared their worries and their anxieties with me. I have been able to go to some of their shows to see them sing or play instruments. We have prayed for one another. Every week, new students stop by, as well as the familiar ones, but no one's a stranger. As much as I worried about how to welcome students when I first started this call, they ended up welcoming me. Through the simple act of sitting at a table once a week, we have become a family. So I ask, where are you being invited to away games? Where in your life is the Spirit calling you to discover brothers and sisters you have yet to meet? I wonder if we all went to more away games, if eventually no one would ever feel away. Eventually, home would be everywhere. And I believe that's the kind of kingdom building that we are called to participate in. If the waters of our baptism are not contained to one moment or place in our lives, then our home is not confined either. We gather here in this place every week to receive nourishment and renewal and energy and fellowship, but then we go back out into the world because that is also where our family is. The Spirit of God's love cannot be contained. So may our home be wherever that Spirit is poured out. May it be so. Please pray with me. Holy God, as we indeed seek to be your servants in this world, help us to find more away games. Continue to pour out your Spirit upon us so that we might find a home among all people we encounter, your children. In your name we pray. Amen.